Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 1 in our teaching on the Book of Galatians, titled Saved by Grace but in Bondage to the Law. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
We're looking in it. And so when you look in Scripture, you got to understand that prophetically it's kind of like a code. You're trying to get the code out of the Scriptures. The Scriptures have a linear meaning, and then they have a depth to them. Paul said he want to know the length and the depth and the breadth and the height and all of that. You got to look, you want to look in it. So as you color code these things, it helps you pick out what Paul is emphasizing. He's emphasizing Christ Jesus. We know that. He's emphasizing promise. We know that. Now let's go flip our page over here just a little bit. We can see on the next page there, right above sonship in chapter 4, he has Christ, Christ, Christ Jesus, Christ again, and then promise again. So we can see that promise is all through there. We can see the, again on that page that we have Son, Christ Jesus, and look at everything red, you see. Now look on the right side on chapter 5, look at red again. Promise is there again, Christ, Christ Jesus, the Lord, Christ Jesus. So we got promise over into 5. Now turn to your last page, which is chapter 6. And we can see there that you've got Christ, the cross of Christ. Do you see that about halfway down on the page? Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can see by our observations that trying to look at the Scriptures, we can see that what I have color-coded in red helps me to look in the Scriptures, not just at the Scriptures. There again, I'm trying to teach you prophetically how this thing can work. So I know Paul's emphasis here is on the Lord Jesus Christ and the promise. Now, the book of Galatians is written to a crowd in Galatia that started to leave something. Evidently, they were leaving Jesus Christ, the message of it, and the promise. For some reason, they were leaving that. Now, go back to your first observation worksheet page again. You see what I did God in. I got God in black with white letters. So we can see we got Jesus Christ mentioned, then we've got God mentioned. And as you go through and turn to the next page, page 2, chapter 2, you can see God. You see how it stands out? Look on the right side of the chapter 3 now. I say right side, actually chapter 3. Yours is stapled together. I encourage you to take a staple out and put those pages in your notebooks. Then you got chapter 3. Look at God. God scattered all over it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times God is mixed in there with Christ Jesus and the promise. Go to the next page, chapter 4. Look at that. You see God in black there? God, God, God. You see it? Now, we start seeing that there's some major things going on here. You call this, and underline these major and making these key words to stick out and to jump, it will help your spirit keep the main thing the main thing. Because when we're studying Scripture, you want to take the whole counsel of God. A lot of times people will pick out a Scripture here and pick out a Scripture there and pick out a Scripture here, and they'll try to create a doctrine on a Scripture. But in the book of Galatians, you want to get an overview. It's the reason we're doing an overview. You want to get an overview of the book of Galatians, which we know it's a lot about Jesus Christ. It's a lot about the promises. And we see God's mentioned a lot here in it. Now go back to page 1 again on the chapter 1. You can see anything that has to do with you and me is colored in green. Do you see that? So we got a lot of green on page 1. Go to chapter 2. We got a little green on chapter 2, little green on chapter 3 on the brethren, and you, get to chapter 4. It's like somebody planted a garden green there. We see that us and you and me and brethren is scattered all over chapter 4. So as I'm reading chapter 4, it tells me there's a lot of instruction there for me and you in chapter 4. Okay? Look at chapter 5. All of a sudden, it's green all over again. So I know chapter 5 is real heavy into instruction to me and to you. because I've got that highlighted. Do you see that? So it starts bringing an emphasis to you as you're doing an overview of the whole book. I automatically know there's an emphasis in chapter 4, emphasis in chapter 5 on instruction to me. Got it? Now, look at it in chapter 6. Now, in chapter 6, we have a lot of green. So we know that I have a lot of instruction there. Now, go back to chapter 1 again. In yellow, what do I have highlighted in yellow? I have gospel, grace. Do you see that? So here I've got grace and gospel in chapter 1. Go over to chapter 2. We can see here we've got gospel, a lot of gospel. Then we go to chapter 3, we got gospel. Do you see that? One time. Chapter 4, we've got gospel. Chapter 5, we've got grace. So there, I have most of my gospels in chapter what? In chapter 1. So I can see that chapter 1, all of a sudden, chapters 4, 5, and 6 is instruction to me because I'm green all over the place. Chapter 1 speaking about gospel more and the grace of God. So we can see that when we take this book and we look into this book, that the introduction series of the book, which is chapter 1, that talks about gospel and the grace of God. It mixes you and me. It mixes God. Now, if you look at chapter 1, it will have almost an equal color scheme on Jesus Christ, on God, on gospel. So I know in the beginning that Paul's setting up the information that's going to be in chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is how I look into the book. Automatically, I know that he has set it up for me in chapter 1. Now, as you get over in there, look at chapter 3, if you would, please. When we get to chapter 3, Paul starts bringing in what's that color I got for spirit? What would you call that? Kind of a what? You see that under spirit? I'm going to call it a red strawberry something. Fuchsia? Well, boy, that's not in my redneck vocabulary there. This is a fuchsia color, spirit. Call it what? Paint. Pink. Oh, pink. Pink, okay. I didn't even understand her redneck language there for pink. Okay, we'll call it pink. Now, so you can see spirit starts being introduced in chapter 3. Isn't that amazing? Look at that. He starts introducing the word spirit. So all of a sudden, let's stand back here a minute. I know that this book is high. It's got God all the way through it. It's got Jesus Christ tied to his promises. That I understand. It's got the gospel and the grace of God. Then all of a sudden, chapter 3 starts with this pink color. He introduces the spirit. So I know that the spirit's got something to do with the promises that are of Jesus Christ. Do you see it? You start looking into it. Now, also, I'm going to hit one other one. You'll start seeing the word law starts showing up in chapter 2, I think. At the bottom of chapter 2, you'll see I did kind of a light green there in highlighting law. All of a sudden, you get into last part of 2, you get into 3. We see law is then scattered throughout the rest of the scriptures. So I can see I start seeing what are the main words that are targeted in the book of Galatians. And the reason this is important is you pick out these main words and you take the book as an overview, as a whole first, automatically you'll remember the whole book. And then when you look at an overview of the book first, and then you start into chapter 1, it is then that the Spirit gives you, you'll start getting revelation and correct understanding of what's in the book. Because you've got an understanding. You set up the background of your spirit man for the whole book. Now let's move quickly here. We see in Galatians that the title of this study is Free from Bondage, God's Way. So I know if it's freedom of bondage, it's got something to do with the spirit, something to do with the law, something to do with promises. I know that it's got something to do with that. Now in the book of Galatians, we'll see that the writer of Galatians is whom? It is the Apostle Paul, he is writing to the church in Galatia. To whom is the believers in Galatia? Theme, now watch this one. The theme of this book is the vindication of the gospel. Or he's fighting for the gospel of the grace of God from any mixture of law conditions, which destroys the character of pure grace. Now this is important. The reason this is important is that we are on a mission here at this church. The mission of this church is we want to see people born again. We want to see people set free. We want to see people healed of disease, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We want to see that what's in this book happen in this place. We have to accept that what we know has gotten us to here. Is anybody pleased with the level of the kingdom of God that we're seeing here? I'm not. I'm very happy for what measure we have. But I'm chomping at the bits for more. Chomping at the bits for more. So we have to admit that what we know has got us to here, but it's not going to take us to where we want to go. So that means we need to know more on how we need to go. So as we're studying the book of Galatians, we have something in mind here. How can we go further than we are now so that more of the gospel and the presence and the kingdom of God can be in this place now? Is that all right? So Alan Smith has to admit that I don't know all I want to know. So as we're moving forward with that idea, the Apostle Paul writes to this church who's in trouble. They are not moving ahead as far as Paul thinks they need to. Could be us. So we see here that Paul is fighting for the gospel of the grace of God from any mixture of law conditions which destroys the character of pure grace. Now here's what I want us to consider. The character of pure grace is the character which carries the kingdom of God. So there is a reason Paul wrote this book. Do you, how many people want to see miracles? How many people want to see people born again? Do you really want to see all that stuff? Why is it when we have these, why is it when Billy Graham preaches, so many people got born again? Because he did the pure grace message. He didn't have a mixture. The purer the message, the greater the power. Amen? Let's watch it. Why did Paul write this letter? Because people were distorting the gospel, he said. That's a quote out of the scriptures of this book. People were distorting the gospel. When you say distorting, what does that mean to you? It's being twisted. It's kind of taken on a form that it originally wasn't created to be. So you've got original creation, and when you distort something, you are changing the original form in which it was created. So Paul is saying the gospel is being distorted here. I'm going to have to hurry here. The gospel introduced the Jews to a new way of life. So we had some Jews here in Galatia. We also had Judaizers coming in behind Paul. Let me not get ahead of myself, though. The gospel introduced to the Jews was a new way of life, that of grace rather than law. So the Jews had always been conformed to the law as a way to please God. The old covenant, with all of its regulations, was made obsolete by the new covenant. That's in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. Now, let me introduce you to this thought. According to the book of Hebrews, let's turn there right quickly. I don't want to use too much time. Let's turn here right quickly to the book of Hebrews. You got your Bibles? It's a good place to have your Bible at church. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 8 right quickly. Chapter 8 and verse 13. It says here, in that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to do what? To do what? To vanish away. Now a lot of people take great pride in things of the old covenant. I understand that a lot of people want to do the Jewish feast and all those things. I'm okay with the meaning, the symbolic meaning behind that. But some people think if we'll redo the Jewish feast and all these holidays of the Jews, that for some reason we'll please God better. Here's the problem with that. That brings reproach against the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ finished all of that. So we can allow it and say it's kind of okay, and I'm kind of okay with that. But my problem is, if you think that's going to please God better, you're not getting the message of the cross. Not only that, it brings a reproach against the finished work of Christ. The writer here, now here's what I want you to understand. All of this mixture is what keeps the supernatural from happening. That's our problem. The mixture keeps it from happening. When you get out of the mixture, it's all him and none of you. When we all understand and recognize it's all him and not us, he will stand up. That's the reason I don't like to even brag on people in church. It's not that it's not okay to. It's just like, I'm like, if we can just get to where it's all Jesus, we can just get there. It's okay to brag on people a little bit, but let's brag on Jesus a lot. That's all I'm asking. Let's brag on the little children. Let's leave us adults alone. How's that one? Is that a deal? Let's brag on the kids, but let's leave adults alone and let's go for Jesus, because it's all about him. It's not about us, because we're on a mission here. So you see that in Hebrews 8:13. Look over in chapter 9 real quickly. Have you got your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 9? If not, you can even put it on the overhead, 9:15. 9:15. Let's see. No, go to verse 16:17. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. Now let's look at this, and you can see it on the overhead. For where a testimony is, there must also of necessity be the death of who? So, now go to the next, verse 17. For where a testament is, there must also be the necessity of the death of test. Therefore, a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while testator liveth. Do you know how many people see that? So, when does the New Testament come into effect in your Bible? When's the New Testament of Christ come into effect? It's when he dies. Right? The New Testament actually comes into effect in its fullness when the testator dies. See, Jesus doesn't die to the last part of Luke. You can take your other Gospels too, but it's the last part of the book. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's full of a lot of the Old Covenant. This means yes is, oh, Alan, okay. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's got a lot of Old Covenant in it. If you want to get into fullness of New Covenant, you got to do it after the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we walk into Acts chapter 1. Oh, and all of a sudden, God says, Jesus said, okay, y'all go hang out there. This old covenant, I have fulfilled it. I fulfilled the law. The law's all in Jesus Christ. I fulfilled it all with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then Jesus dies. And then he says, okay, I'm going to send my spirit, and then y'all take off in the fullness of this new covenant. That's what he says. So Jesus dies, a new covenant comes into effect. Don't go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John under law stuff and say you're supposed to do it today, because you'll bring a reproach against the cross of Christ. If I was creating a Bible, I wouldn't have New Testament until after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now don't throw nothing at me yet. I'm okay with it being where it is. But for teaching purposes, it would be better if they did it after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So you would understand New Testament starts after the death of the testator. Are you with me? Is that all right? Say, Alan, I love you anyway. Okay, my job's to teach you. You test what I say. So when we walk in the fullness of this new covenant, that is what Paul is talking about in the book of Galatians. All right, now look at it. That's the reason he refers here. This transition was difficult for some Jewish believers to handle, and a group called the Judaizers sprang up. They couldn't handle this full message that the testator died, now he's got a new covenant, because Jesus really did fulfill the first one. See, we couldn't, but he could. Now, watch it. The Judaizers embraced Christianity, but said that some of the old covenant rites or rituals, including circumcision, still must be observed. You see, they got some of these Judaizers, they were born again, but they still said, okay, after the grace, you got to do law. Paul got wind of this thing, said, oh my goodness, I got to write a letter to this foolish crowd. What are they doing? As Paul traveled on his missionary journey sharing the gospel of grace, many of these Judaizers followed him, teaching the necessity of keeping the law to one degree or another. They even went to Galatia. That is why Paul wrote what he did to the churches there. The more you read and observe this book, the more you will understand Paul's words. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Just hallelujah right there. Redneck says hallelujah. The era of the Galatians had two forms. The first is the teaching that obedience to the law is mingled with faith as a requirement of a sinner's justification. Now, don't point your finger at somebody else and say, I know somebody like that, because it's all of us. Yeah, you're welcome. It is all of us have a measure of this in us. We're still all trying to get it worked out. The second is that the justified believer is made perfect by keeping the law. What keeps us perfect is because now, since we're saved, we're going to keep the law. Well, you couldn't keep it beforehand, and you can't keep it now. Just the way it is. Listen, the gospel of the grace of God is a pretty good gospel. It works for you when you're doing good, and it still works for you when you're doing bad. Somebody say glory right there now. You see, the gospel of the grace of God is not dependent on you, it's dependent on God. There's another place say glory. Yeah, right. It's dependent on God, it's not dependent on you. When we start getting the full meaning of what this is, we'll run after God. And so like I've told others, I'll sin when I get time, but if I'm always running towards God, I just don't have time, because I'm running after something, running after it with all of God. You say, well, Alan, you think you'll do better? I don't know if I'll do any better than the first day I began this trip or not. I just got to keep my eyes on the prize, on the mark. I might even do worse. I don't know. I just don't want to stop and find out. I want to run forward. I want to keep running towards God. Am I any better than I was yesterday? I don't know, but I need a Savior worse today than I ever did. And since I did, I'm going to run towards him. I'm just going to keep running towards him. Listen, do you believe that you can trust a big dog not to bite you? You can hug it. You can love it. You can do anything you want to. But there's something about the animal nature in that dog. If it's in the right place, she's liable to turn on you and bite you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You can kiss it in the face and lick it too. But that dog's liable to bite you, because it's got an animal nature in it. Did you know every one of you sitting in here has got an animal nature too? Did you know that you can be perfect 99.9% of the time, but you're just liable to turn around and bite somebody who's not? That's right. That's right. Did you know you can't trust yourself? That's right. Did you know you're not perfect? Did you know you can't keep the law? Did you know you're liable to do anything outside of running towards God? And if you stop for a minute, you probably will. What keeps us is we're running towards him. What keeps us is we know he's going to keep us. What keeps us, if I fail or not, the gospel's based on God's word, not on me. In that, I can pick myself up and run again. I can run towards him. Paul talks about this. Paul confronts the first form of error. He confronts the error by a demonstration that justification is through the Abrahamic covenant, which is in Genesis 15:18. He declares that the law was 430 years after the covenant. Paul compares all these promises. You remember where red was promises all over in Galatians? Here's the deal. Paul will compare the promise made to Abraham to the promise made to us and to the Galatian church today. A lot of people think, well, Abraham was under the law. No, Abraham was under grace. He's before law. They just couldn't handle it. They demanded a king and some laws. God said, okay, law right on up there then. Go get you some. See how that works for you. And Paul makes that argument. Paul confronts the second form of error. Paul meets the second and more subtle form by vindicating the office of the Holy Spirit as a sanctifier, not by the works of the law. Listen to me, church. After the testator died on the cross, he sent his Holy Spirit. Now, whether you're in relationship with his Spirit or not does not determine if the Spirit's real or not. Come on. God's Holy Spirit's real. Now, you might need to know him a little better. Say, well, Alan, I don't know. How do I do that? Well, I promise you, if you'll ask God, he'll not give you a fish. That's right. If you've got nerve, this is for the big boys and girls. Ask him for more of his Spirit, more of the understanding, more of the power of his Spirit in your life. You can't run this far, this fast without it. The law will get you up to 10 miles an hour. The Spirit will get you to 106 seconds flat. You can't run this life and this race in the law. You got to have the Spirit of God. It's the turbocharger that's in you. Makes you move fast in the Spirit of God. Watch this one. Now, Galatians in seven parts. If you look on the last page of your observation worksheets, I put this slide on the last part of your observation worksheets. We will be going over this in the future teachings of this book of Galatians. You've got greetings in the beginning. Now, Paul didn't greet too long. If you'll notice, he greeted for five verses. He got right into what he wanted to talk about in verse 6 through 9. So he greeted them a little bit, patted them on the head and said, hey, y'all doing pretty good. But let me tell you something. Usually Paul takes a whole chapter to greet them. He didn't in this one. He threw out a few verses and he jumped right to straddle of their necks is what he done. Then Paul goes on to say that his gospel's by revelation. He said he didn't get it from men. Paul said this. He said, man didn't call me. God called me. Man didn't give me my message. God gave me my message. Here it is, and you're a bunch of fools if you don't listen to me. That's what he said. Now, if you want to know the truth, in the book of Galatians, Paul's a little ticked. But he all throws in enough Jesus to kind of calm it down. You see in there that Paul, he says, we're justified by faith without the law. The rule, and the next one, the rule of the believer's life is grace, not legalism. The next one is sanctification is through the Spirit, not the law. Then he kind of ends it up with a bunch of conclusions and he wraps it up. Here's what Paul's wanting them to see. You have left, you are leaving the message of the gospel after the cross of Christ. He said, if you leave it, you're going to leave the kingdom of God. You're going to leave the supernatural. Where's the first verse that Paul tells us about the problem? Galatians 1:6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Paul said, when you get into the law, you're deserting Christ. That's the reason I say if we go back to Old Testament stuff, it's a reproach against the cross of Christ. You're deserting Christ. Pre-cross, you got a new covenant. You got a new... Jesus fulfilled that other stuff. Look at your observation worksheets. We've already done that. And see how the gospel is one of Paul's main subjects. We've already done that one. How are they distorting the gospel? It's in chapter 3, verse 2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, Paul starts coming into here and saying, you need to consider the Spirit of God that was poured out in Acts 2. God sent his Spirit. He said, now, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing by faith? The way you got the Spirit's by hearing and by faith. not by works. The law is simply distractions from the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul got ticked off about it. He said, if you practice that with grace, you're going to make a mixture and you're going to distort the gospel. I'm so sorry. Your pride does not have a place in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on to say, the works of the law by hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? People get born again. You got to come to church and you better do this, 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 and this, and do this, and this, this, and this, and this, so you can maintain your salvation. That is totally contrary. It's out of the pit of hell. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a mixture that comes in. Verses 3, verse 5. So then does he who provides you with the Spirit and works, miracles among you? Do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? You see, the miracles weren't happening in Galatia. Paul's addressing why they don't have the miracles going on. The miracles comes through the Spirit. He said here, if you run a mixture, the miracles quit. Oh, I thought we were going to be more holy. The only holes you got in you is those that's been shot through you by sin. That's the only ones you got. Do you see this, what Paul's saying here? Keeping the law does not equal pleasing God. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how many people's known by God in here? Wow. God knows you by first name, knows the number of the heads, hair on your head. Come on. Or rather, to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Here you go. You're observing all this fancy stuff. Why do you want to go back to that when you've been set free from all that? Put you back under bondage. Listen, you cannot do anything than make God any more happy than he is right now because he died for you. So God's happy with you. And it's not because of something you've done. It's because of something he did for you. God had to do something for you so he can make himself happy for you. It's been fulfilled. It's justified. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth, the Apostle Paul says. Saved by grace, but trying to please God by keeping the law. Watch this one. Tell me you want to be under the law. Do you not listen to the law? So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of a free woman. That's going to be a good study. Trevor and I talked about that one this morning. We're going to get more into that one. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. If you do law stuff and you mix it in your grace, the cross of Christ is going to have no benefit from you. All the promises to Abraham is going to fall flat on the ground. You're not going to see miracles. You're not going to see blessings. You're not going to do all that stuff. Because you got enough law mixed in there with it so you can get a little bit of the credit. God will share his credit with no one. No one. No one. We got to get it. No one. Faith in the law or faith in Christ. You have been severed from Christ. That means cut off. This is Galatians 5:4. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Can you fall from grace? You are not operating the grace of God if you've got a mixture of law and grace in your life. You have fallen from the more law you got, the more you fall. Remember something here. Falling from grace equals falling from miracles. Uh-oh. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and the works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing from faith? You see how important this is? Listen, y'all, the Church of Jesus Christ cannot operate in this world and impress this world and go after this world without the miracles of the Spirit of God. Greatest miracle, being born again. The greatest miracle. But it doesn't exclude all the other miracles. People today need miracles from God. We can't psychologically teach all of this stuff out of us. I'm looking for the day that we can lay hands on and people are set free. Do I have it? No, I don't. Does Christ have it? Yes, he does. Because I believe in him. Law is in opposition to the Spirit. Karen, if you would, go up, please. I'm about to finish. Law is in opposition to the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition in one another. Okay, I'm done. Did you learn anything? Listen. We're running after this thing called the kingdom of God with all we got. The better that we realize it's the mercy of God, when we can convert and carry over the mercies of God in everything that we do, you will be a happy people. And you will see God move in your midst. Listen, loving God and His mercy and His grace is the lazy man's way. You do nothing but love Him. Appreciate His mercy and His grace. And you will see power in this place. What do you think? You got a witness, anybody? Karen, lead us in this little song.
Water rose today. The river with the rain. Memories and picture frames have floated miles away. Through the wreckage and the mud, the ruins after the flood, she survived at 91. Some would have given up, drowning in their tears. But on her wrinkled face, a smile appears. When you face your greatest fear, losing all that you hold near, open up your eyes, my dear. Oh, how mercy looks from here. The call I couldn't take, unbearable mistakes, a brilliant mind that fades away, a baby doll beside the grave. When you face your greatest fear, losing all that you hold near, open up your eyes, my dear. Oh, how mercy looks from here. I would have given up, drowning in my tears. If it wasn't for your voice all these years.
Let us see like the angels see. Let us see, oh God, what mercy looks like from here. Let us see it, oh God. Let us escape our greatest fears. And let us see like you see. Let us see, oh God, the message of reconciliation. That you have the power of reconciliation that you have given the church to reconcile all things. To bring peace and happiness, to bring healing and hope. Let the love of God be on this place, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're dismissed. We'll meet back in 10 minutes. Thank you.
Open up your eyes, my dear.
Saints are singing.